Galera, a gente vai ter aqui uma apresentação internacional agora. Então,
He has a tick.
bota os fones aí, quem quiser. O assunto é The Power of Crowd Connectivity. We have an international guest. Please welcome Mitya Benoliel.
You have the
Let me
Here.
here. Yeah.
Excellent. Oi, pessoal. Meu nome é Mitya Benoliel. And I'm sorry because that's all the Portuguese I know. But I promise next time I come, I will be able to speak more in Portuguese. So I am the co-founder and CEO of a company called Nodal, which builds connectivity solutions for the Internet of Things. We are based in Silicon Valley, in San Francisco City. And I'm super excited to be with you today. And I hope you are excited too, because I'm going to talk to you about the power of crowd connectivity. So a little bit about myself. I started to code when I was 8, and I was lucky my father brought a computer home, and that's how I learned my first language, which was BASIC, and that was a very, very, very basic language. Since then, the evolution of technology has been growing exponentially. And I just want to remind a few things that are pretty important when it comes to understanding the pace of evolution of technology in general. You have Moore's Law, basically the amount of transistors you can put into a chip, growing exponentially. You have Cooper's Law, the amount of conversations that you can have for a given amount of spectrum. And then you have other laws, like for example, the Swanson Law, which is about the reduction of cost of the energy. And because of that, I believe that one day we will all have access to the internet for free. And I believe that we can make that happen all together. So today we're here to talk about the power of crowd connectivity. Crowd connectivity is probably one of the ways that will make that possible. I want to tell you about a technology I built when I arrived in Silicon Valley almost 10 years ago. It was in 2011, 9 years exactly. I was building a technology called peer-to-peer mesh. And we were building that technology because we wanted people to be able to share internet access collectively and get access to the internet when sometimes you don't have direct access to the internet. We wanted people to be able to have access to the internet everywhere, as if they were in their own home with their own internet. So that's an important fact. Why that? Because today your smartphone is extremely powerful. You have radios in your phone that can communicate with other devices, but also with other phones directly, without the need to go to the cloud. And the distance between phones today can be a couple hundred meters, and pretty soon it's going to be a few kilometers. So that's going to revolutionize the way we connect, the way we access to the internet. This graph shows how it works, basically. Imagine a chain of people, and now imagine that these smartphones, these objects, these things connect to one another. Information can go from one node to another and eventually reach the internet. So how many of you here know about the Festival of Burning Man? Please raise your hand. Wow, excellent. So I went to my first Burning Man in 2012. And after driving the whole night, I arrived for sunrise. And I really had a problem. I couldn't find my friends. The Festival of Burning Man happens in Nevada, in the middle of the desert. You have 70,000 people gathering each year at the end of the month of August. And in 2012, you had absolutely no way to send a text to communicate with anyone. Later, and these days, they have put a cell tower with a satellite, and you have some form of connectivity. But what happened with the technology we built, we had having a lot of demand from friends. Hey, Misha, why don't you build a messaging app that can use this technology and help people communicate when there is no internet, like at Burning Man. We need a way to communicate with each other. So we launched this app called FireChat in 2014, and it was a huge success. In a week, we had 1 million people installing the mobile application. And that was really, you could feel that people were craving for having the possibility to communicate in places where they can't communicate. And we envisioned that this could be used at Burning Man, but also at music festival, and sometimes during natural disasters. But one thing I learned as an entrepreneur, and I want to share that with you, because it took me time to really get it, is when you're an entrepreneur, you dream, you have a vision, you want things to happen, and you imagine how they're going to happen. But the reality is the map is never the road. And that's a quote from one of my mentors, and I forget. I recommend you to read his book, which is called How to Get Out of This World Alive. You can order it on Amazon. So the lesson from this is you have to have the ability to step back and readapt all the time. Even if you have a plan, when you encounter situations on a daily basis as an entrepreneur, you have to be able to act accordingly to the situation. And for that, it's very important not to be stuck in your original vision or the things you envisioned previously. So what happened with FireChat is pretty amazing. I was in India to show how the technology could be used to actually enable more people to communicate with each other. And I stopped on a layover for 24 hours in the city of Hong Kong. I'm having dinner with a friend, have a nice conversation. And at the beginning of the dinner, he says, oh, Misha, you know, your app is growing up in the store. It's really growing up. And by the end of the dinner, the app was number one on the App Store and the Play Store. And I was, wow, what's happening? So I sent some screenshots of the public groups that were all in Chinese at that time. And when I wake up, I realized 100,000 people had installed FireChat. And I realized that also all these Chinese texts were the students who were preparing and organizing their umbrella movement. So how many of you have a smartphone and can raise their hands here with their smartphone? Okay, all of you? Well, that's what happened. 100,000 people installed the app, organized their pro-democracy movement on this app. And it was so unusual and exceptional that I decided to stay. And I spent actually 10 days in the city of Hong Kong when it happened. It was probably one of the most surreal experiences of my life. I didn't sleep for 10 days. That's me in Hong Kong. You can imagine it was very trendy. We brought a lot of attention of the media. Messaging app, the year when WhatsApp was acquired by Facebook, helping the students for pro-democracy. I mean, we were having so much attention. It was crazy. Then FireChat started to be used like we originally envisioned during music festival, EDM, for example, or during a natural disaster, like the large floods that happened in India, in Chennai. So this app really created a movement, and it really also got everyone excited of what the future of the internet can be. And that's a quote from Fortune magazine that was saying, FireChat may be the best thing that happened to the internet since the creation of the big hubs on the internet in 1995. Then we got taken in the press, in the media, so that I don't know how many of you are familiar with the John Oliver show on HBO, basically. He spoke about FireChat when the movement was happening in Hong Kong. And a few of you may also know the Silicon Valley show. Who here have heard or seen one of these episodes? It's actually pretty close to the reality of a life of an entrepreneur in Silicon Valley. It's a really great caricature. So that's me with one of the main characters, Richard Hendricks, doing the FireChat Shaka. And I invite you to watch this short extract that actually is really inspired from the FireChat messaging application. As long as I don't know if we have the sound. And support each other, oh, we can crush it, because what I'm going to wait a few seconds if we don't. Okay, we are building the world's first truly open, truly free, decentralized. Looks like we don't. Okay. So. I'll tell you what, I got a sneak preview for you guys. Okay? Because we have it. Thank you. Obrigado. The messaging is live.
and say hi there.
Well, it definitely says hit her.
I'll try it again. There's a new one.
Well, I mean, it's a great series, and it's, like I said, it's really close from reality. Actually, what happened to Richard in one of the series when he lose control of his company happened to me. And one of the reasons it happened to me, so, I mean, when you are an entrepreneur, it's a roller coaster. You have high highs and you have low lows, and you really have to learn how to navigate between these moments. So I picked that photo because I thought it could express what I'm going to tell now, which is about fear. And I think the main reason why I actually lost control of my company was because I didn't face my fear. So you all know Star Wars and Master Yoda. So Master Yoda said, named must your fear, because banish it, you can. And the reason Master Yoda said that, it's because if you don't face your fear, if you're not able to name it, then basically there's no way you're going to be able to face it and to overcome it. So always face your fear. I picked that photo. I wanted to pick Luke Skywalker in front of Darth Vader, but I thought that photo was also doing well. It's about facing fears, your demons, and it's my co-founder who actually took that photo when we were visiting an exhibition in San Francisco. So now let's have a look at Brazil. I'm really excited and pumped to be with you today, here. I think Brazil is a fantastic place for technology, fantastic place to build a startup with a huge market, and I'm going to give you some reasons why. So first, in terms of adoption of mobile among the growing economies, emerging markets, Brazil is the country where you have the largest adoption from young people. 85% of people between 18 and 34 basically have a smartphone. When it comes to adoption of technology, Brazil is always very fast. For example, Bitcoin, number 5 in terms of people who own Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. In terms of time spent on the internet over the whole day, basically Brazil is number 2 in the world. That's mobile and actually personal computers all together. And when it comes to only consumption of data on mobile, Brazil is number 5. So it's a very, very dynamic economy, young economy, where everything is possible. When you look at the conceptions of data on mobile, it was almost like 600 megabytes back in 2015, and it grew up to 3.7 gigabytes now, so almost 4 gigabytes. And when you look at the number of connected devices, it grew up from 500 million to now almost 800 million. Why this is important? It's important because when you have a better penetration of mobile data, when you have a greater adoption and penetration basically of internet, you can see better economics. You can see improvement in efficiencies. You can see improvements in wealth for everyone. So now I'm going to talk to you about the connected devices and IoT. Every day you have almost 30 billion devices that connect to the internet. And that number is growing exponentially. By next year, according to McKinsey, the amount of data consumed by things is going to overpass the amount of data consumed by people on the internet. But connecting these things is actually complex, expensive. They consume battery. The process to connect anything to the internet requires a lot of time. The provisioning is complex. So there's a lot of things that needs to be solved, including privacy issues and security issues. Imagine, for example, that you want to connect just a basic bicycle to the internet. How do you do? So I'm going to talk about intuition. I really believe in the power of intuition. I like that quote from Albert Einstein because I think it explains well what an intuition is. It's very important as an entrepreneur to listen and learn how to listen to your intuitions. And the way I do it, and I get start to get better at that, is I try to practice meditation every day to just empty my mind and become more aware and raise my level of awareness so I can spot these intuitions. So learn to listen to your intuitions. Very important. So when it comes to connecting the next 3 and 6, because that's what we are really doing now in Silicon Valley with Nodal, we wanted to find a solution that would scale fast and that would be very flexible and simple. So we thought that we could do that by actually leveraging everyone's smartphone to connect this next 3 and 6. And the big advantage is this solution is 100% software. No need for antennas, towers, or new equipment. All you need is to push software on smartphone. But we realized that we would need a very high penetration. How are we going to be able to install her app or have her software on hundreds of millions of smartphones? Because that's the goal. So there are 3 reasons why this is possible now. 3 main trends. First, 2 billion smartphones worldwide. Huge in terms of penetration. And like I pointed out before, these smartphones can communicate 70 meters, 100 meters to a device, but pretty soon it's going to be a few kilometers, a few miles. Second, the miniaturization of radios. You're going to have tags that are going to be as small as stamps that we'll be able to connect to anything pretty soon. And the third reason is the blockchain, fantastic technology, and I'm going to explain why. So before, let's look at miniaturization. I like Master Yoda a lot, that's why I took that example. Now imagine you shrink everything, you miniaturize everything, everything becomes smaller. Well, you end up with Baby Yoda. But no, that was just for the joke. In reality, that's the size of what is a small tracker today. And that's the size is going to be very soon. So now imagine when you can put such a small radio on everything. Now you've got this market with potentially 1 trillion things that will connect to the internet. Blockchain. Blockchain is a fantastic technology. The same way internet enabled people to communicate and commerce from one side of the planet to the other side of the planet seamlessly and easily, blockchain now is enabling these people to have trust. And for that, they don't need a third party in the middle. They can build trust remotely without having to know each other. I like this photo. It's an extract from a Japanese technologist and artist. I put his name on this slide. And it shows what the future of augmented reality is going to be. I like to call it also spatial web. And what does that mean? That means that everything you're going to be looking at, wherever you will be, will have its reality and will have its digital twin with information attached to it. And that's going to change our life, improve efficiencies, and much more. So to enable us to be on millions of smartphones, we had to find a way to actually create a new economic model for the internet. But because of these 3 things that are happening now, it is possible. So we created what we call proof of connectivity. So for those of you who are familiar with Bitcoin, so Bitcoin, to earn Bitcoin, you have to mine Bitcoin. And the mining is like if you go into a mine and dig to look for nuggets. For Bitcoin, it is about solving mathematical equations. It consumes energy, time, and the more capacity you have to solve these mathematical equations, the more chance you're going to be able to solve these problems and earn Bitcoin. So with our proof of connectivity, the way it works is the more data, the better data, and the more often you move that data, we are going to reward you, the smartphone owner, or app developers, or smartphone manufacturers with our cryptocurrency, which is called Nodal Cash. So the way it works, we push this software library by partnering with app developers, smartphone manufacturers, and when the smartphone has this library, it becomes an IoT gateway. And anything in proximity can use the smartphone to connect or send back information to the internet. And that way, we are able to build connectivity across a city, a country, or a whole continent. I like to say it's a little bit like Pokemon Go. When you have the app installed on your phone, you walk around, and by walking around, you're going to start to earn nodal cash, and you don't have to do anything. And then sensors, trackers, electronic devices may use your phone to connect or send information back to the internet. That's the coverage we achieve today with by deploying this technology and this technique and with this cryptocurrency. And we have touched 80 countries already, and we have access to 20 million smartphones, mainly through smartphones OEM and app developers. So let's go back to another learning. It's very important when you're an entrepreneur to dream, have your vision, but also to stay connected and grounded. So stay grounded and connected to reality is fundamental. You can dream big, you can know where you want to go, but don't forget you have to have also your eyes on what's happening at every moment. So that's just to give you an idea of the things you can connect to this network. So you have a tracker, you have a sensor here that captures temperature, humidity, atmospheric pressure. And it can be used, for example, to deploy weather stations to measure pollution in cities in a record time, really in a record time. It would take basically a day if you have the sensors to position them in the city, and then you would have people, by walking around, capturing the information. It can be used to better locate bikes. I saw you have a lot of bike sharing companies here now. But sometimes they run out of batteries, so the cellular connection is lost, and people can lose bikes. So with this technology, you can have very small trackers that can last for years. Same thing with scooters. And same thing with any kind of electric transportations. It also can be used in the ride-sharing industry to improve user experience, avoid fraud. And we did this with the city of Paris, where we created smart benches. They are very nice benches, 3D printed using concrete, but believe it or not, some people steal them. So the city had to find a way to actually keep an eye on them. You can use this technology for locating luggages, or your pets, cats, dogs. Packages in the future, like the miniaturization of the tags, will be so small that you will be able to afford to put that on anything. So we call this the citizen network. And one of the reasons I'm here in Brazil is because I feel this economy and what's happening is a fantastic place to actually deploy this technology at scale. And we have an app called Nodal Cash that can help us build this network, and where we're going to pay people every couple minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour with our cryptocurrency for participating in the network. So if you have an Android phone, you can install Nodal Cash. And if you come to see me after the talk, I also have a surprise for you. I can give you a small present of cryptocurrency. That's how Nodal Cash works. It's battery friendly. It's also anonymous. We put a lot of time to make sure basically all information stays private, because we're only interested in things. We're not interested in people. What's interesting, we realize this is a new way to monetize the internet. So I don't know who of you were here yesterday with Jimmy Wales when he was talking about a new economic model for his social network and why the internet needs an alternative to advertising. We are actually one of these alternatives. The app developers that work with us receive cryptocurrency in exchange for turning their user base into nodes, and that's a way for them to have a new form of revenue. We also believe this is part of a big tidal wave that started now in Silicon Valley and that I hope is going to be pushed all over the world, which is this new capitalism, where companies build more trust with their users and where the profits and the revenues are shared between, in our case, the IoT manufacturers, the app developers, but also you. So I invite all of you to install the Nodal Cash app. You can find it on Google Play. And come to see me after if you want to have this little gift of a crypto banknote with Nodal Cash on it. One more thing. Because we believe a lot in Brazil, and we're going to come back, and we want to build a real IoT connectivity network here, We're going to offer for everyone who is a new business and who wants to benefit from this network to connect their own things, basically free connectivity. And that's also because we believe this economic model will take us some time at a point where internet access will be completely free. So lessons learned from this journey as an entrepreneur. And I invite you to remember this because I think it can be very helpful. And I wish I knew that before I had to fail and fail many, many times. So remember to step back, readapt all the time. Always face your fears. Listen to your intuition. The heart knows better than the mind. Remind that. And stay grounded and connected to reality. Everyone, obrigado. You have my email here. If you want to send me any questions or you want to connect with me, feel free. And I hope you enjoyed this talk about the power of crowd connectivity. Obrigado.